Just Wednesday, folks. Just this last Wednesday, our illustrious government, our illustrious administration, Biden and Kamala Harris, approved yet another insane aid package for the Ukraine. Now, also, let's not forget that they did also sign over $1.8 billion or something like that to hurricane victims from the last month, which should be helpful if it is divvied out and administered the way that maybe it should. And I guess I'm not aware of how it should be handed out. I'm not aware of how it should be spent. But I know that there was talk that there wasn't any money for reasons that we've already discussed here on the show, such as the infiltration of our country. But here again this week, yet another insanely expensive package of benefits to the Ukraine to fight the war that America is not or should not be involved in at all. So today we're going to have some discussions on that. I found a couple interesting things that maybe might be interesting to you. They certainly were interested to me, and it kind of sparked my curiosity, so I did some digging. So stick with us. Don't go away. We start now. Hey, everybody, welcome here to the next installment of the Richard Leonard Show. I want to, as always, thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for coming back. As I say all the time, it's awesome to watch this show just gain traction and build steam. So all of us here at the studio, as well as myself, we really thank you. And, of course, as always, before we get started, once again, let me tell you about how the show is made possible. That's Cortez Wealth Management. Get yourselves on over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Sign up for the webinars. They happen on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The webinar will give you all the information that you need and then some about how to create and plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan. Got ahead of myself. Excuse me. When you get to the end of your days, busting your back, getting up early, working late, whatever the case may be, you deserve to enjoy the fruits of your labor with as little tax liability as possible. So at least give Carlos and his staff a shot to help you out with a plan. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Get on over there. Check it out. You owe it to yourself. Okay. So, as I was digging, for things that I thought might be interesting to the audience, and things that I might be able to shed a little bit of wisdom on, I like to think sometimes that I have a little bit of wisdom. I'm not very old, but I feel like I'm old as hell some days, some mornings. But you know, I do a lot of thumbing through stuff. I do a lot of, watching of videos of people talking, and there's so much going on, and there's just so much treachery. It seems like there's so much treachery afoot, that It's hard to pick out ideas for content, because truth be told, there are times in which I would like to have pleasant or more meaningful conversations. Not that any of this stuff is not meaningful, but you know, I like to try to capture people's stories and let them talk to us about the shit that's going on out there that we will never hear about. We'll never see on TV. You'll never see it or hear about it on Facebook or Instagram. You might on X, but who knows really? Who knows really what is censored, who knows really what is put out or has the ability to be put out to us. And then also how much of it is the truth. And so we got to do our best to just wade through that. You wade through all the BS to try to find little nuggets of truth here and there as we go. Well, so then I came across this story about how this week's package, and we'll check out the article. But they say in here, this week's package for support or of support for the Ukraine totals $425 million. $425 million. Now that was Wednesday. I also want you to know, if you don't already, that also on Wednesday, the Biden administration also signed over $1.2 billion for hurricane relief, which is something I think that most Americans can get behind. But the question is, who the hell's paying for all of this? And where is all of this money coming from? You see, if we dive into community programs in our little podunk towns that some of us live in, or even the big cities, the urban areas in which we live in, as well as the rural areas, it seems as if there's not a whole lot for support for some of those communities. There's a lack of support for after-school programs to help kids who maybe need a little extra help. It seems that in some places, athletics is getting cut because schools can't afford things like busing, or they can't afford equipment for these kids to use to play sports. There are roadways all over this country are a disaster. There's just so much. There's so many things, and when we read articles that outline this week's package for a war that's going on all the way across the world, that we as members of a community, as citizens of the United States of America, that we don't want to be involved in. It's a little hard to swallow. At least it is for me. And this coming from a place, between my wife and I, all of our kids are graduated out of college. In fact, we just became grandparents a couple weeks ago. And that's how I got this little extra, this gray patch. This is new. This is the grandpa patch, apparently. But those things are new to us. And so where are we finding all of this extra money to be spending all over the world, but yet our own people are lacking in support, in equipment and supplies, you name it? Does anybody really expect us to believe that the war in the Ukraine is more important than American children that may need extra support before or after school? Are we expected to believe that the war in the Ukraine is more important than the city streets that some of us travel down every day that are in shambles, that are doing damage to our vehicles, and then now we also have to pay to fix that, fix our cars, our suspension? Are we expected to believe that things like the war in the Ukraine are more important than keeping our community safe when we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are many communities in this country that are being decimated by crime. And not just crime from illegal aliens, illegal immigrants. Tough time talking today. But also crime that is being perpetrated by our own people. Are we expected to believe that? Because I don't. And as we've talked about on this show many, many, many times, there is absolutely zero excuse for us to be worried about anybody else's backyard when ours is full of dog shit and it's a mess and it's broken, it's ravaged. Zero reason for it. And so when I found this information about this week's package, it really made me, well, it frustrated the hell out of me, but it really made me think about some other things. So let's go through this. And of course, as usual, I'll stop where I have my comments. Okay, so this article is titled, White House Approves $425 Million in New Ukraine Aid. I found this on Military Times. And I'll tell you this, I'll give a shout out to the Military Times, and maybe I'm wrong about this and others might disagree, but I feel like I have found, as it relates to military and veteran issues, Military Times does a pretty good job at being diverse about the stories that they put out. You don't always really agree with them, but at least the information is out there. And from the best that we can ascertain, a lot of the time, it's about as true as it can be. And maybe I'm just not all that great of a researcher. But I seem to think that they put out pretty decent information. So anyway, here we go. White House approves $425 million in new Ukraine aid. The White House on Wednesday announced its latest package of military support for Ukraine, including $425 million worth of air defense, air-to-ground missiles, armored vehicles, and other munitions. President Joe Biden spoke Wednesday morning with his Ukrainian counterpart, Vladimir Zelensky, before the White House announced the latest round of aid to help Kyiv in its ongoing war against Russia's invasion. The two leaders discussed the state of the war and a victory plan Zelensky has touted to end the conflict, according to a readout of the call. Now, wait a minute here. Here's President Zelensky has a victory plan? Then go perform your plan. Did Vladimir Zelensky construct a victory plan and just assume that Joe Biden and the taxpayers of the United States of America were just going to say, here you go. Here's all our equipment. Here's all our munitions. Here's a bunch of money. Here's some supplies and some vehicles. Here you go. Go perform your victory plan. I don't know if he did. Maybe he did. I bet he did. Who knows? The Ukrainian president publicly discussed the plan for the first time in a speech before the country's parliament on Wednesday, arguing that his framework could halt the war by the end of 2025. He discussed five main points, chief among them membership in NATO and long-term military support from the West. Well, I guess that answers our question, doesn't it? Vladimir Zelensky's victory plan is to have somebody else come in and win the war for him. He knows that if the Ukraine joins NATO, now all these powerhouses led by the United States of America, now they're obligated, they're damn near obligated to go fight Russia. And he's going to get long-term support from the West. Does that mean the United States only? I don't know, maybe not. I did also read recently that Australia gave him like 45 Abrams tanks that were set to be decommissioned. Well, I don't know if that's a horrible thing, right? They're going to decommission these tanks and, you know, make monuments out of them, or they take all the guts out and just take all the metal and they throw it in the ocean and it becomes a coral reef at some point, as long as there's no chemicals or abrasive or corrosive stuff on it or in it. They've done that in the past. Vladimir Zelensky's plan doesn't seem to be at all that he and his military or his people are going to help win this war. NATO and long-term support from the West. Now, it would be naive of me to assume that the Ukrainian military is not going to be fighting. Of course they're going to be fighting. But if they were soldiers that were trained and able to carry out the job of fighting in combat, they'd be doing it. And I think they're out there doing it. But I don't know that they're doing much. And to be quite honest with you folks, I don't follow the day-to-day goings-ons of the war in the Ukraine. But I do pay attention when your money and my money and our money as a community is going there in droves with weekly packages. Let's continue. This week's package includes many of those weapons Ukraine needs most, though it solely involves equipment America has sent in the past. The White House's authority to send more assistance was set to expire at the end of September, forcing the president to designate the aid toward the existing list of approved systems. The White House pledged that within months, the U.S. would send hundreds of air defense interceptors and dozens of smaller air defense systems, both of which have become as valuable as they are scarce 2.5 years into the war. Russia has consistently overwhelmed Ukraine's air defenses with cheap drones and ballistic missiles in attacks on military and civilian targets. Kiev is bracing for more such strikes heading into the winter, as Ukraine struggles with a damaged power grid. Weird. You're at war. You're at war. Of course your power grid is damaged. Of course all these things are happening. Why? What I struggle with, folks, is this. Why has it become our responsibility to fund this war? We've just got out of the longest war that our country has ever fought. And by the way, we got out of said war like the biggest set of cowards possible. And it wasn't because the soldiers on the ground were cowardice. It wasn't because they whooped our ass. It wasn't because we ran out of equipment. It wasn't because we have soldiers or fighters that are crooked and they don't know what they're doing and they don't believe in the mission. We look like cowards because we were forced to. We were forced to perform the mission that was handed down, and the mission that was handed down was to unass the AO. Leave all of our stuff. If you're not on the plane or you're not in the trucks when it's time to go, if you're not there at SP time, guess you're staying. Instead of leaving that part of the world the right way, handing over whatever it is there was left to hand over, and leaving there with dignity, with power, and maybe even a little bit of grace. A way in which the men and women that are now buried 6 feet underground in national cemeteries all over this country, or in private cemeteries all over this country, wherever they chose or their family chose to place them, to make their sacrifice worth it. To make sure at the end of the day, when they signed on that dotted line and they put on that uniform and they laced up their boots and they grabbed their weapon, put on their body armor and their helmets and stepped out into that battlefield, that it was for something bigger than themselves. And the way in which we left that place, I bet all of those men and women are rolling over in their graves. What was it all for? Why? Why did it end that way? And I think there's a lot of theories out there. But that's maybe, maybe that's a discussion for a whole nother show. But then we talk about weekly packages of aid. And we know as a country that we have homeless veterans all over, sleeping in the cold, hungry, some very sick. We know that we have homeless veterans that need work. They need support. They need mental health care. They need all kinds of stuff. And that's just veterans. That's a 7-8% of the country's population. But I highlight that because everybody who's asking you for a vote at some point in their campaign has addressed the need of veterans and how they're going to do better and how veterans are going to be better off with them in office. Well, I'm here to tell you that when we're weekly spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a war that we don't have anything to do with or shouldn't, a war that we're not fighting and hopefully never will because we shouldn't, it doesn't leave a lot of room for anything else. And it doesn't give those men and women the confidence in their country that maybe they once had, that they're going to be taken care of in some way, some form or fashion, that they're going to have some kind of support. And at the end of the day, it's not their fucking money to spend. It's not their money to send every week to somewhere that we as taxpayers don't approve. It's not their money. It's our money. And if we all got to the Capitol steps or stood at your state capitol and demanded, I demand my money, what do you think will happen? They'll arrest us. They'll make us go away. They'll push us away. They'll say something to pacify us. And meanwhile, you're going to go to work just like I am. And every time you collect the paycheck and you look at your pay stub, you're going to be fucking pissed. You're going to be pissed off because you know exactly where all of that, all of those dollars, every single one of those dollars that has been taken out of your paycheck are likely going. It's ridiculous. Nobody asked us. Nobody asked the United States of America, the citizens of the United States of America, hey, do you think that we should help out the Ukraine with their war against Russia? You know, maybe they could use some support. Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. They would probably really appreciate that. Nope. This old son of a bitch in his little baby bear footy pajamas, he just sits up there. sucking his thumb or a pacifier with his little hot cocoa and graham crackers. And he said, don't worry, old Vladimir, old buddy, old pal. Let me send you another $425 million of shit that's not mine to give you. But just sit still. It'll be right with you. Don't worry. I got you covered. And here we are. Struggling. Watching our savings depleted. Not able to buy a full week's worth of groceries, maybe. Make a decision about how much gas you got to put in your car for the week to get to and from work. Maybe you're one of those parents that has to make a decision whether or not you can really afford to let your child play football or soccer or dance or gymnastics or volleyball, whatever it is that your kids are playing. We, the American people, we the people, we are going without. And these people are sitting up on high, collecting their paychecks and giving ours away. But I'll tell you what, folks, it gets even more frustrating. We got to take a break, though. So just chew on that. It gets more frustrating. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey, folks, we just have a very short break here because we're running short on time, but I wanted to talk to you quickly about joining the Stew Crew. If you have watched the network in the last few weeks, you will have probably seen this already, but if not, this will be new to you and a reminder for some. The network is growing. We are growing large. For the last 4 years, everything that we have put together, all the work we have done, has all been free to you, the watcher, the viewer. We are now at a stage where we need some help. We need some support. All of these things take resources. And so, if you would consider, joining the Stew Crew, I'm going to show you here down on the left side at the bottom left of the screen here, you're going to see this red button that's labeled Stew Crew. You can click on there and for $9 a month or $90 a year, you'll get 2 months for free. You can join the Stew Crew to get, premium access to extra content. There are also other benefits such as giveaways. Stu is putting together packages of giveaways for premium subscribers. So you do receive something extra as a thank you for joining us and for your support. This is, folks, a sign of growth. But we have to keep growing. We are in the constant search for truth, and we are in the constant search of making sure that you, our viewers, are properly informed to make your own decisions about whatever the topic at hand is. So again, here at the bottom left, the Stew Crew, $90 a year, $9 a month. There's also the ability to make a one-time donation if that is what you so choose to do. You can do anything from as small as $1 all the way up to $1 million, I think is the cap. So feel free to go nuts on there, whatever you can do. It's important to mention, though, that we, of course, do not want anybody to go backwards. We don't want anybody to feel the hurt by supporting the network. We don't believe that you should have to do with less to support us. So if you can't do it, we understand. It's no big deal. We still appreciate you watching and participating in the content that is put out to you. But if you can and you won't miss $9 a month, please consider joining. Again, we are running short on time, so I'll see you back in the show. Hey, folks, welcome back here. Before we took a break, I was up standing strong high on my soapbox. And I just think it just gets so, first of all, it gets very tiresome. It's very tiresome to day after day and week after week, just like everybody in this country, one way or another, it doesn't matter who you support. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter what your views are and where you stand on them. There's always some extreme bullshit that's going on either side of the argument. And in my opinion, what I think happens the most is that we don't have anybody who's keeping these people in Washington in check. Everyone gets so up in arms. Everyone is so polarized and everyone's so pissed off. And meanwhile, nobody seems to be holding the ones that are holding the purse strings, the ones that are spending the money, the ones that are making the rules, the ones who are breaking the rules or bending them for their own purpose. Nobody's ever talking about that. And nobody's ever asking those questions. You see, let's talk about immigration, right? This immigration deal. Real quick, because we got something else to get to. But either you're for it or you're against it. And no matter what side you're on, both sides are pissed off at the government. I don't know that there's really anybody in this country that believes, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that nah, we're good. We don't gotta worry about that. We'll be fine. I think everybody always should be questioning because there's always some bullshit going on. But nobody else is we get on here. If you watch the mainstream media, they get on there and they ride on their soapboxes, but nobody's holding these people accountable. And I don't know that I have an answer for what it's going to take. There was some guy on X that I believe was earlier this week, and I forget his name or his qualifications, but he was being interviewed on some platform about just the current state of America and the things going on and how he felt about it. And his answer was, well, when are we going to have had enough? He said, we already seen Donald Trump get, there was two assassination attempts and apparently maybe even a third or maybe even a fourth that they haven't even really talked about. But there were people arrested with guns and knives and bombs or whatever the hell it was. But when is it that we're going to... What he said was, when's enough enough? And when is somebody going to start killing all these people? And the people that were interviewing him, they all kind of sat back in their chairs and their ears perked up. And they looked very uncomfortable. Well, the fact of the matter is that I don't know that that's too far away. There are people in this country, folks, that are destitute, that have had enough. And also that are getting to the point where they got nothing to lose, nothing else to lose. They've lost everything. Or in a very short period of time, will have lost everything. So what do they have to be scared of? Going to prison? And so just something to think about. Okay, so we were talking about the new weekly package, $425 million to the Ukraine for a war that we don't and should not be in. Now check this out. 2 days prior to that, which would have been Monday, the government comes out and announces that the VA has stalled putting up a bunch of new facilities, hiring doctors, hiring support staff, obtaining new medical leases to treat veterans. And why? There's no money. And some will tell you, well, you know what, man, this money was earmarked long ago. So the money that we're spending currently doesn't really matter. And to that I call bullshit. To that I call BS, because here's why. When the hurricane hit North Carolina and the dippity-doo Harris got on camera and offered everyone $750, and then the director of FEMA got on the TV and he said, "We don't have any money." Well, of course, everyone in the country was up in arms. Anyone that paid attention or anyone that cared about the people who have just lost everything, including their loved ones. And once everyone starts digging in, then we learn that it wasn't all that long ago that the Biden administration had directed FEMA to reappropriate money to illegals, from disaster relief to illegals. That's why there's no money. So you're going to tell me that now veterans are going to miss out again? They're going to wait in line longer. They're going to stay sick longer. They're going to die waiting for care longer because there's no money. And the money was earmarked, but so there's nothing really we can do. We got to wait for this to play itself out. I don't know if that's a narrative that the government really wants to spin. Is it? I would sure hope not. Let's get through a little bit of this. The article came out on Monday, so let's take a look. It's titled "Plans for Multiple VA Medical Clinics Remain Stalled Despite Funding." Getting 15 new Department of Veteran Affairs medical locations up and running remains sidelined for more than 2 years after their approval because of ongoing bureaucratic wrangling over pricing methodology for location leases, leaving those tracking the issue fearful that veterans will get fewer healthcare options than promised. Veteran Affairs leaders and congressional officials in recent years have pointed to the proposed medical lease sites as a valuable tool in expanding care options for veterans. Now, check this out. The roughly $670 million dollar set aside by lawmakers for those 15 projects was not enough to pay for the planned spaces, according to preliminary bids. Since getting that news, officials for months have been unable to move ahead on the process for getting new bids on the projects, largely due to behind-the-scenes concerns over pricing guidelines. The stalled projects are located in 12 different states, including 2 in Texas, 3 in Florida, 14 for potential new outpatient clinics, while 1 in Tampa, Florida is planned to be a community living center. Okay. $670 million for 15 places all over the country to treat veterans. Doesn't seem like a real tall order, does it? Just this week, we sent $425 million to the Ukraine. And behind the scenes, I'll tell you, largely due to behind the scenes concerns over pricing guidelines. Well, I think that's a real fancy way of saying they're fighting over how much money it is they really want to spend. There's no guidelines. Since when have any of us ever known the United States government to lie within any guidelines on what they spend? When we have something like a $12 or $13 trillion debt, They didn't give a fuck about what they were spending when they were spending millions of dollars a day on a war. When Washington bureaucrats were making money on the war behind the scenes because their wives or their partners or their buddies or their cousins or their brothers owned some businesses with contracts. That's okay. Let's keep the war going. Let's keep sending our sons and daughters to fight. And let's keep it going because we're making good money. And so I ask you this. Why would this not be a priority for the United States government and especially the Department of Veterans Affairs? When after the longest war in our country's history and the most embarrassing unassing of any AO that we could ever do, we look like a bunch of cowards leaving Afghanistan. And then you throw in the COVID mandates and how many members of the military flooded out of the military, a mass exodus, if you will. Not to mention the normal ETSs, the contracts came to an end, or people retired, or somebody got hurt and they couldn't continue, whatever it is. This country produced a whole shitload of veterans and then released them into the community, send them home with the promise that should you need help, should you need care, it'll be there available for you. And now it looks all to be a lie. It looks all to be a lie because there's no money. There's no money to provide the space. There's no money to provide the doctors. And there's no money to provide the support staff. There's no money to provide the equipment, the medication, the x-rays, the MRIs. There's no money. But Vladimir Zelensky is living high on the effing hog. He's building a powerful military, one of the most powerful militaries in the world. And why? Because he has all American equipment. Has anyone ever stopped to think that it's possible, just maybe possible, that all of this equipment and all these missiles and rockets and bombs and ammunition and trucks and medical supply, whatever it is that we're giving them, all the shit we hear in their weekly packages, anyone ever stop to think that in the flip of a switch, that all that could be turned around and used on us? And now we've given away our equipment? What the fuck are we supposed to use to fight a war with, should we need to? Should these crooked son of a bitches talk them into joining NATO? And now we have to go fight because now we're part of NATO and we take care of our own, right? Anybody thought about that? What the hell are our soldiers going to use? What kind of anti-air rockets are our soldiers going to use? Or are we going to have the newest, the biggest, the best, the most shiny equipment? Because don't worry, we'll just print more money and we'll buy it all. It's craziness. We are at a time in our country, as it pertains to veterans, anyhow. We've never had more. And we just talked about this recently on the show, about how the veteran population in this country is growing and growing. But yet, our suicide numbers are still high. The number of veterans sleeping on the street, cold and hungry, still high. The number of veterans who need work, still high. It's insane. This was the place. This country was the place where you could feel safe. If you decided to sacrifice everything, everything, including your life, you'd sacrificed your relationships, you sacrificed jobs, you sacrificed education, you sacrificed time with your family, with your kids, with your friends, sacrifice your youth, your health. You sacrificed a lot just to find out that, sorry guys, we don't have any money. We don't have any money to build the facilities we need to take care of you. But feel free to go to your nearest VA clinic or medical center. Feel free to go there. But you're going to have to wait. And you're going to have to wait an awful long time. Because that's the same story that everybody's getting. Everybody's going to the nearest VA medical facility. And then what happens, folks, is that people don't want to wait anymore. They don't want to go there. They don't want to wait. They don't want to wait 4 months to see a doctor for whatever issue it is that I have. I don't want to do that anymore. So then they stop. They stop going. They stop going for physical therapy. They stop going for dialysis. They stop whatever the case may be, mental health. I don't want to wait anymore. Think about how that feels. Think about sitting in an office, raising your hand. Like, this is supposed to be a high point in people's lives, right? Like, joining the military is not a, for many, many people, for some maybe it is not a high point. But for a lot of people, like, this is the career I've chosen, that I am choosing. These are the goals I've set for myself with my career. And we're going to do the damn thing. And then you go and you do your time. For a lot of people, it's not what they thought it was. But they have some integrity. And they carry out the duration of their contract. They do what they said they were going to do. They just don't re-enlist. They get out after 4 or 6 years or whatever, 2 years, whatever your contract was. And you move on to something else. Some people join so they can get a free education. Mom and dad can't afford it. They're not elite sports athletes, so they may not get a scholarship. Hell, I'll join the military, see the world a little bit, do some pretty neat stuff. And sometimes that doesn't go as planned. When the bullets are flying and things are blowing up and people are getting hurt and vehicles are burning, and there's smoke and there's chaos and it's hot as hell, and there's sweat in your eyes and your ass is chafed like a son of a bitch because it's 120 degrees out and everything's raw. Those are the times in which you think, man, what the hell did I sign up for? But you take comfort. As a soldier, as a member of the military, you take comfort in knowing that should all this go to shit, at least I'll be able to go to the doctor. At least I'll be taken care of. If I need to have surgery, I can have it. If I need medication, I can get it. If I need prosthetics, I can get them. It's not a it's not something that you really worry about until you really need it. But there's a, there's this little space of comfort off in the corner there where you can always kind of think about that. And then you get there and then that happens and they tell you, well, you know, we can get you in. You know, it's going to be 4 or 5 months though. So you got to just hold on. And you keep waiting and you keep waiting. And finally you get to go in and you get to see a doctor and you get to see people for whatever your issues are. Just to find out that you need a referral. So you take your referral and you go to the next clinic to schedule that appointment and you find out that's a few months out. And then it's not uncommon to get a phone call sometime in the interim. Yeah, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so is not going to be in the clinic that day. We need to reschedule. Well, guess what? Now it's another few months out. And that's not the case for everybody, but it's a case for a lot of people. So that's when veterans say, well, I'm done with that. And that's just to get care. That's not to mention the process to get disability and compensation benefits. That process is crazy too. Most veterans that give up with the VA give up in that process. We need this documentation and that documentation, and it can only be 6 months old. So in, you know, if it's 6 months and 2 hours old, you got to go back and get it. So now you got to wait another month for that information. And then you got to go to all these appointments and get poked and prodded and evaluated so that they can confirm that you have this stuff, which is probably a good thing. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of BS going on there, which I still think does happen from time to time. And then maybe 8 months to 14 months, you might start getting a disability payment. And they tell you that it's going to be okay because, you know, I mean, you might have to wait, but the silver lining in it is that when that claim goes through, you'll be retroactively paid to the day that you first put in a claim. Which is fine. But what people don't seem to understand is that it's not necessarily about the money. It's not necessarily about the disability check that comes in the mail or gets directly deposited into your account on the first of every month. It's about the medical care. It's about the access to the things you need. We did 8 weeks of shows, worth of shows on the VA Family Caregiver Program. Those people were thoroughly screwed over. And still to this day, doesn't look like much has changed. And what's going to happen to them, as we discussed on the show back then, they're fucked. They just got to figure it out. The VA will tell you, well, you just don't qualify anymore. Sorry about that. Here's a couple other programs you might qualify for. So you can fill out this application, go to this website and fill this out. Somebody will get back to you with between 30 and 90 days. Meanwhile, you still need things. You still need care. You still need to talk to a shrink. There's a lot of things that you still need. And I'd be willing to bet, folks, that if we stopped and asked disabled veterans all over this country, if you could rewind time and change anything about your military career, for example, whatever it is that gave you this ailment, would you give all the money back to be the way you were when you got there? And I believe that the answer for a lot of people would be yes. The tricky part about it is, though, that veterans don't want to abandon their service. They don't want to abandon their experience. They don't want to forget. They certainly don't want to give up the relationships and the memories that they made. So maybe that is a difficult question. Because I know what I would say. I would tell them, I would give back every single penny to just be normal once again. But only if I could keep the relationships that I had made and fostered and still have today. We don't care about the money. Nobody joins the military because they care about a lot of money. I think people join the military because they have there's a call to service. They have a purpose. Not because they want to make a bunch of money. But the fact of the matter is that we can't go back. We can't go back and change any of those things. Now we just have to live with it and come to terms with it. And for many of us of my era, Iraq and Afghanistan, we already know, well, I shouldn't say that we know because it's probably not possible, but we already have a very good idea of what's going to kill us. I already know. Again, I don't know for sure. But I am very confident in the fact that if I don't crash my motorcycle and die, if I'm not in a car wreck or a plane that crashes or get robbed and shot or carjacked and shot or some stupid shit like that that's beyond my control, those burn pits got my effing number. Those burn pits are going to be what kills me, I believe. But you know what? My brothers and my sisters I love more. I love those people. I love them more than going back and giving all of that stuff back. At this point, I'll choose to live like I'm dying and just wait and try to leave this world a better place than I found it. I think that's all anyone can really hope to do at the end of the day. Right? There's no Brinks truck behind a hearse. I'm not going to be able to show off my shoe collection, my hat collection. I'm not going to be able to ride my bike, my Harley. But when the day comes for me to pass, I hope that I will have left this place better than I found it. And I hope that whatever legacy it is that I have made and built and fostered lives on for a long time. Good night.
There's a whole bunch of stories that have to be dug into, rethought, reconsidered, and in some cases completely discarded.
As modern Americans, we've been spoon-fed this dumbed-down, cartoonish, simplified version of history. It's all fake. It's all bullshit. everything that we have been taught is part of a self-serving narrative written by the people who will say and do anything to keep us on a leash. Now, this version of history, some big-name corrupt families like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and their many associates are credited over and over and over again with propelling human development. Throughout the late 18 and early 1900s, almost every major American city was burnt to the ground. What if we really are quite literally living atop the ashes of an advanced civilization that's been hidden from us for our entire lives?